I would say, Mr. Arnold, that this is probably a very, very important upgrade for the lift station, especially for the city hall. I don't know how many times I've gone to city hall and there is a strong odor of sewage within the building. And, yeah, it has happened quite frequently when I've come to the city building. So this would be a really nice upgrade for all the people that work and spend a lot of time in this building.
Is that the problem? Actually, would it solve that problem?
Yeah, the main issue is that lift station's also 30 years old. It's inside the building.
Yeah.
You know, it's right here in the center of the building. We're going to move it outside and get it out from under the building. And it's just deteriorated. The panel itself, you can't even get parts. We thought we had the right parts and put them in, fried them the day we put them in. So it's definitely time.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Mr. Arnold. Any other questions for Mr. Arnold? Okay, so we're going on over to the main motion of approving action memorandum 2021. All those in favor of approving action memorandum 2021 indicate by saying aye.
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 Aye. All those opposed say nay. Thank you for your time, Mr. Arnold.
Thanks.
So we're moving on to 10.9, confirming the city manager's hiring of Richard H. Simmons Jr. as chief of police. The main motion to confirm the city manager's hiring of Richard H. Simmons Jr. chief of police. I would entertain the support of the motion.
I'll move to confirm the city manager's hiring of Richard H. Simmons Jr. as chief of police.
Thank you, Mr. Witt. Okay, thank you, Mr. Springer. As the maker of the motion, Ms. DeWitt, you have first debate.
Well, I think this might be the appropriate time, actually, I'll move to suspend the rules to see if our acting police chief would like to speak about this candidate.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Thank you, Ms. DeWitt.
Second.
So there's a motion to suspend the rules by Ms. DeWitt, second by Mr. Diamond. All those in favor of suspending the rules indicate by saying aye.
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 Okay. All those opposed say nay. Ms. Davis, if we can have you come on up here, please.
So I've, you know, I talked to the to Mr. Simmons quite a bit over the last month. I trust that he's going to do a good job for the city of Bethel. I feel good about him coming to the city of Bethel. I've spent some time speaking with his wife as well. I think they're both going to fit right in here. He really seems like a good fit for the police department and for the community. He has a really good background. He's a lieutenant over there of an investigations department. So I think that having that strength at the police department is important. Someone with a major crimes investigations background is very important. He's involved in the community, which is important to me, to have someone come up here and be involved in the community. And we had a lot of good discussions about what his vision for the police department was and for the city of Bethel. And I feel good about the candidate.
I don't have anything else. Neither.
Has he ever spent any time up here in Alaska?
He has not.
He has not?
He has not.
Okay. Has he done a lot of research that you know of on
Bethel? He knew a lot about Bethel. I don't know if you all are aware of this, but I've been pretty much doing the hiring for the police department for the last probably 8 years or so. And it's funny to talk to people, candidates, and they'll try to say they know what's going on here in Bethel. But he actually did a lot of research. He's been following council. So He's following along with stuff, which meant a lot for me. He wanted to know our issues. He wanted to know the good and the bad. So he did know a lot about Bethel. And I was very, very honest with him, so he won't fly here and get right back on the plane, because I've seen that happen too.
Yeah. I think I know the answer to the question, but is he the best of all the people that you dealt with in terms of their initial application for the job and people who really did apply? Do you think?
Yes, most definitely. The most qualified, the best fit for the police department and for the community, yes.
Thank you.
I was impressed with his application. I really like all the training background that he has done. A lot of the range stuff, the investigations. I thought we had a very strong candidate with his application.
I 100% agree, and he's very humble about his background, which is very important to me as well.
When is he to show up?
He will be here for a meet and greet. Him and his wife fly in on June 8th.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try to get them the rapid test of the hospital, and then he'll come over to the council meeting for a meet and greet with you all. And he's going to spend some time with the officers at the police department.
Come one of our special meetings, Lori, June 8th.
June 9th.
June 9th is our regular meeting. Okay. Are you going to take him fishing?
I'm going to take him to dinner. He offered to take me to dinner, but I think it would be more appropriate that I take him to dinner since he's the guest.
Yeah.
But I sold my boat, so I can't take him fishing.
Yeah. Darn it. Thanks, Amy. Any other questions for Acting Police Chief Amy Davis?
No questions.
Thank you, Amy. So, item number 9, the motion is to confirm the city manager's hiring of Richard H. Simmons Jr. as chief of police. So, do we need a roll call or just a...
Yeah, we should have a roll call and we've got telecast.
Yes, ma'am.
Councilmember DeWitt.
Yes.
Councilmember Diamond.
Yes.
Councilmember Springer.
Yes.
Mr. Hansen.
Yes.
Mayor Barr.
Yes.
Councilmember Franco.
Yes.
And Councilmember Leary.
Yes.
Motion passes unanimously. Welcome aboard to Richard Simmons. So reports, item number 11, 11.1, Mayor's report. I don't really have anything to report. We'll move on to the 11.2, the City Manager's report. Before you begin, Mr. Carranza, let me just preface this. I would like to see your report in the packet, especially for the public to see that aren't at this meeting, and so that they can understand and follow along with the meeting as we go through these city council meetings. So, please, Mr. Carranza.
Thank you, Mayor Barr. And is that the council's will, or is that your prerogative? The code says I do submit a monthly report. So usually on the off sessions, I do a verbal report. But if the council wants my talking points, I could, provide that. But I don't do a formal written report on the second meetings. On the first meetings, they include my summary and also all the department head reports. That's the 20, 30 pages that you get.
Okay.
But if you want a copy of my talking points, I would have to, they would be outdated. So this talking point is as of today because I was cranking it up. But to submit it, I would have to back my report to last week. So because they're required to be in Tuesday the 19th. So I would have out of date information.
Well, I appreciate the verbal report, but again, as for the public's education,
sure.
I think it would be nice to have them included online in the packet so that the public can follow along. And if I believe that if we need to vote as a council to make that happen, if that is what you wish, then we can do that.
For example, my first point is the Memorial Day event. I could not have written that because it didn't. It wouldn't. It would be after the deadline to submit any paperwork. So I could. You would be getting out of date information.
Okay. So, I guess, again, for not only our education, but for the public's education, I would recommend that you have that with whatever days you have already that have already gone through before you are required to meet your deadline for so many days. I don't know if that made any sense.
Well, verbally, I'm telling you what I'm writing here. I usually write off a talking point. I go by bullet. The bullet, so the public do hear through the radio live what my report is to council. It's an audio versus visual, but if you like, we could put this on the website. I mean,
is that something that the public can get after the meeting?
Oh, well, this is public information. They want to know my talking points. I could send this to them or post it on the internet if you
like. Okay, maybe if we can include that on the internet the very next day after the meeting.
His staff can add that to the city's website if it's not going to be included in the packet. They can add it to the city administration's page. Sure.
Okay, cool. Okay. Wonderful. Thank
That'd
you.
That'd be a good. All right. So for my city manager report, I have four items to the council to report to the council. So they include: one is the Memorial Day event for city employees. Two is the reopening of city facilities. Three is the transit system back running. And number four is the taxi voucher system for elders, which, in light of what the council passed, the revision to the emergency ordinance that prohibits me from making revisions to taxi cab rates. I don't know if this is applicable because it is a revision down. It's basically elders are not gonna, they're not going to pay anything. So I could still report to you what I would have done, and then the council can kind of give me some direction on, on to proceed or not. All right, so Memorial Day event for city employees on Friday at 2 o'clock, city staff held a Memorial Day event for city employees. Members of the local Veterans of Foreign Wars were also participated. It was held at the fire department to include a wonderful speech, playing of taps, and concluded with city employees going to the Alaska Territorial Guard Cemetery to pick up trash and tighten up the cemetery. Number two is the reopening of city facilities. As of today, City Hall, Fire Station, the Police Station, Public Works Complex, and the Port Office are open to the public. Limited hours from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Masks are required for both the public and city employees interfacing with the public. And property maintenance are currently working on points of entry upgrades. The council and the public probably noticed as they entered the front City Hall that you can't enter the front City Hall. They're working on a new point of entry. It's the door that will lock, and we can unlock that next time when they're done. Third item is the transit system is back and running. So here, and I could also post this too. This is a handout. And I'll email that to the counselors online. They're basically just two pictures that it took. So this is one city bus has been retrofitted with a driver's side plexiglass shield. And that bus is back and running. We have one driver, and this has been retrofitted on the bus. Thanks to Gary Poe and Carly McIntyre for working diligently to get that protection in place so we can restart a bus service. So this protects them from any kind of airborne particles when the riders are talking to the bus drivers, and also any kind of physical, you know, attack. And the last thing I wanted to talk to council about was a program for taxi voucher systems for elders. As of today, the taxi fares are back to the shuttle / shared ride system. This means that the drivers can pick up multiple passengers en route to a destination. It is not socially distance friendly as you're sitting next to strangers. For the elderly population, this can present a problem as they are considered high risk category. So I consulted with our city attorney, and we confirmed that we can use CARES Act funding to implement a voucher system for the elders. Hopefully by June 1, we will have the vouchers, the physical papers available for the elders to come, present their elder tax exemption card to City Hall, and we would give them a certain number of vouchers for the week, for the time period. They then take they show their elder tax exemption card to the taxi drivers along with the voucher, and the driver promises not to pick up other passengers along the route. So basically the elder is, that's their taxi. It's very social distance friendly. So at the end of the month, the taxi companies would submit these vouchers to the city, and we would give them three times the amount of an elder fare. So an elder fare is a discounted rate compared to a regular fare. And by the taxi not picking up two additional drivers, they're giving that up, we would compensate them for an equivalent of three elderly fares for that. So that was the plan. If the council, you know, considers that something that is in conflict with the Section 4 amendment, please let me know. I could, you know, kibosh that idea. Or if the council says, hey, that is not, we didn't really meant that, you can revise it down, but not up. It still is a flat fare system for the regular public, but it kind of is a hybrid where you could social distance the elders. That ends my report, Mayor Barr. If you have any questions, I and staff are available to answer them.
First question for me, Vinny, is the three times elderly fare. What is the normal elderly fare?
Mayor Barr, I believe it's a dollar discount. So if it's like $5 from here to AC for the short zone, there's like $8 to further, and then there's an ultimate one, I think is $12. But the elder, they get a discount, like I think a dollar
less. So right. The taxi driver would get $33 instead of $11.
For an elder, yes.
For an elder.
If they didn't have the voucher, an elder would pay $11. A second passenger would pay the normal rate of $12, and a third passenger would pay another $12. So by giving them three times, it's $33 versus $35.
So are you saying that we're going back to the old rate system where it's
We are already in the old rate system.
Okay. Okay.
So you have an elderly card. Let's go from here to Kasai. That's $12. You would get a discount of, I believe it's a dollar less, so $11. Along the way, the taxi driver picks up a non-elder person, charges them $12, and a third person $12, and they would, you know, that's the old fare system. Here we're saying, hey, in exchange for you not picking up a second and third passenger, you limit that ride to just the elder, and we will compensate you with CARES Act money.
Any other questions?
Yeah, so it's a comment and a question, I guess, but I'm really supportive of doing something. So that elders can get in a cab without being surrounded by, and it's not just two people, frequently it's three other people, you know, they can get really packed. Sure. And clearly put them at risk. And there's no debate about that, about being put at risk in that situation. So there's going to be some policing issues, though. I mean, I don't mean policing, but in terms of kids are going to get a hold of UPA's cab tickets and try to use them and things like that. Things like that are going to happen, and there's going to have to be some self-enforcement on part of the cab industry, but they won't have an incentive necessarily because they'll take a ticket from anybody. But that's something to watch for. But I sure do agree, since we have allowed now four people to cram into a cab, there must be a way of, I hope that there is a way of better protecting certain people, certain part of the population. So then the question though is what we just passed, I don't know if that's restricted you or not. So I don't know if you're going to need advice from the attorney or not, but I would want you to pursue this and look into it. And if it has to come before council, it comes before us and we do it. You know, if not, you can do it. But I think you would, I hope you pursue it.
Okay, thank you. And this would be reimbursable by the CARES Act, the $8.4 million that the city of Bethel is getting?
That's correct, Mayor Barr. Because it's very, it's straight for COVID. It's social distance, it's to protect the elders. So it's very definitive.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Ms. Larry?
Thank you. I just wanted to add that I'm also very supportive of this concept and use of CARES Act money to ensure that elders are protected. And it seems like it's a pretty small scope that I think it looks like it would work. So thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Larry.
I have another thought.
Yes,
you have second thought. I wonder if there's some way of expanding it a bit I think we would need medical advice, but something along the lines of if someone is also at risk, not because they're elderly, but because there's a pre-existing condition, right? Like maybe I'm really diabetic or something, whatever it is, or I just recovered from lung surgery. If we could expand it. And again, you just can't have people walking in saying, hey, look, I have asthma and getting free tickets. But, you know, they come in with something from the doctor, basically. So I would be interested in expanding that if it's possible.
Well, Councilor Diamond, the elders already have a elders tax right. exemption card that they could one present to City Hall and we can verify that and we can give them the vouchers. And then number two, the taxi drivers themselves can see the voucher and they can say, can I see your elders tax exemption card to verify on their end before they accept it. So the situation with, the elders giving it to somebody else, well, where's your elder card? The kid that gets in the car, well, they don't have that. So that's another check that we can do. We'll try to keep our voucher system. I think once we have this running, I think you can always add on certain things. Well, how do we do other, health related individuals, maybe a Dr. Snow or some kind of system there they have for identifying that?
Mm-hmm. I do know, we all know people in this community who are, their physicians would say you're at risk because of these pre-existing conditions. I know people who are young, not young, but just a little younger than me. but they do have some real conditions. And so I would hope that while you're investigating, with the attorney, whether this is doable on your part or it has to come to council, you also investigate whether what else can we do for pre-existing conditions.
Did you talk to the cab industry about this, Mr. Carranza?
Yes, I did, Mayor Barr. After I talked to Libby, the city attorney, about whether this is actually eligible under CARES Act, I ran the idea with Naeem. I talked to Naeem. And also, I did talk to the Chamai cab owner about the idea of using a voucher system. And they do it all the time. YKAC has a voucher system that it's been done before.
When did you talk to taxi industry?
When? I think last week. Yes.
Okay. Again, Mr. Carranza, this is just one of those things that I think the public probably would have had some input in. If you had put it in your packet online and the people had a chance to actually read it, I'm sure that maybe there'd be some people coming to the building or phoning in to talk on people to be heard, either supporting or coming up maybe with alternative ways to help you decide as to which direction you're going to go. So again, I would really like to see those type of items on your bi-monthly report. You said that you make a full report monthly.
Right.
But if you did a semi-monthly report also, that would really be helpful.
So the conversation happened on Friday, and I think Naeem called me to verify that on the 24th, it goes back to normal, the fare rates. So okay. That was after the deadline. I have to get everything in by Tuesday. So I would not have had this in the packet anyways.
Okay.
Mr. Mayor?
Mr. Springer?
Yeah, I had to star six myself. Two things. On cab fares, if memory serves, at my age, sometimes it doesn't, I believe that in the transportation ordinance, it says that a fare may get in a cab and ask to be taken immediately to their destination. I think that's still in there. So I would ask the manager just to confirm that. And if that's the case, that resolves some of the issue. It doesn't do any favors for the industry as far as them being able to bulk up fares. But by the same token, it does provide some protection for elders and really for any other passengers. If, you know, a mom with a couple of kids and then two more people get in the cab, one in the back seat with them, one in the front seat. You know, I can see how there could be some concern there. So I would encourage drivers to continue to wear masks, and you know, everybody too. But if you could look at that up there, Ms. Carrazzo, that would be I think instructive for you and instructive for everybody else. My other issue is I received a call recently that somebody had bought a pizza and beer. Maybe they didn't say hold the pizza, but the it was like four cases of beer that they purchased along with their food. Now I called Chief Holzer at AMCO Enforcement, the Alcohol and Marijuana Control Office. I said, you know, what's all this about, James? And he said, under the governor's rules allowing curbside delivery of marijuana and alcohol, at this point, a restaurant licensee only has to be doing in a day's till half of the day's till can be alcohol, up to half. So I am very concerned that the only license here in town is acting as a de facto beer and wine store, and the issue is that this is in complete contravention of the vote that we had for local option. We voted not to have liquor stores. We voted to allow food and beverage licenses. And Chief Holzer said that there may be some recourse for the city. So I would like to ask Vinny that you get on the phone as soon as possible to AMCO, either to the director or to Chief Holzer, Chief Enforcement, and get some clarification on how the governor's rule on curbside delivery works for alcohol and what latitude it gives a food and beverage licensee, a restaurant licensee, and what recourse the city has because we are a local option community, what recourse we have to opt out of either curbside delivery completely or put the limits on it that you know, realistically should be there. I don't think somebody should be able to call up and order a small pepperoni pizza and four cases of Budweiser and pick it up curbside. I mean that very seriously. And that's apparently what's been conveyed to me is that's what's going on. They're not saying, oh yeah, give me a pizza and three cans of beer. People are buying quantity, and that is, it's a slap in the face of the community. It's a slap in the face of the voters. And, I don't want to stand for it. So I appreciate it. And I don't think anybody on the council is going to not share that sentiment. So I'd appreciate it if you could look into that.
So, Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Mr. Carrazzo.
Councillor Springer, we did look into that. There was a complaint from one of the members of the community complaining that of the restaurant in question. And we did actually contact, I think it is AMCO, but Libby probably has a better memory. We punted it to her to ask some questions to basically draft a letter that we were going to send to the ABC board asking for a sort of revoke of that privilege, because we do sense there's some abuse to that. And the answer she got was they were allowed by the ABC board, permitted till August 12th or 13th. Can I just defer to the city attorney? Hey, Libby, can you clarify on that? You have
Yes, I'm happy to weigh in on that, and everyone on the council. I actually just forwarded you all, as we were speaking here, the email that I sent on Thursday to Vinny about this after looking into this issue. I spoke with the lawyer for the ABC board, Joan Wilson, and we talked through this issue at some length. And we concluded that essentially when, as I started to draft the letter on Vinny's behalf, you know, I started to go through the legal analysis of it. And what I concluded with, along with Joan, the ABC board lawyer, was that, you know, when we voted ourselves into local option, we voted to be governed by Title IV and its implementing regs. And that's the governing structure. So the emergency regulations that the ABC board put in effect until August 13th apply within the scope of Philly's license. So notwithstanding, you know, the governor's intent to reopen Alaska like it was before the virus, we can't really tell this establishment they can't operate under the ABC's emergency regulation as long as it's doing so consistent with its license and the regulations. So it's not in the city administration's at least purview to say that this can't happen. You know, the introductory language to that emergency regulation contemplates this whole situation by saying, you know, the board anticipates that so long as patrons are able to enter the premises, it's necessary to take every step to protect public health by providing purchasing opportunities that minimize physical distance. At the time, we didn't really have yet detailed guidance from the governor's office on the reopenings. And I haven't had a chance yet to reevaluate this issue in light of that updated guidance. But it is within the council's purview, I think, to protest what is happening there to the ABC board. The bottom line is we have to follow state law because we voted ourselves into local option and state regulation, this emergency regulation, which is basically, you can argue, a loophole, what Councilor Springer said about a de facto liquor store, I think is a real concern. And it's a loophole that really couldn't have been foreseen at the time of local option. Nobody would have anticipated COVID. No one would have anticipated the state regulation allowing for multiple purchase options, et cetera. We just don't have the information to conclude that they're operating, however, outside their license. And we can't, I don't think, take away their curbside purchasing option absent some superseding mandate from the state. If we think they're operating outside the scope of their license in some way, I think it is within the council's purview to bring that issue to the board's attention and say, you know, look, we think that essentially they're taking advantage of this regulation and they're in effect operating outside the scope of their license by effectively acting as a liquor store. They're not acting in good faith with this curbside pickup thing. I mean, I think the council could vote to bring that issue to the board. I think under Title IV, it's got to be the local governing body that makes a protest. It can't just be the city administration writing to the ABC board and saying, we don't like this, stop them from doing it. Title IV has a pretty, and as I'm sure Councilman Springer is well aware from his AMCO service or marijuana board service, I mean, there's a detailed procedure for protests and objections and things like that to what goes on with alcohol licensees. It is within the council's, I think, purview to bring what Councilman Springer's concern is to the board's attention. But again, I think, you know, this is a sort of a loophole that they found their way through in under circumstances that were completely not able to be anticipated. But I do think it's got to be the council that takes that action under Title IV. And I did just forward all of you the email in which I explained all of that to the city manager.
Thank you, Ms. Sackler. Mr. Springer,
not to debate this really hard, but thank you for that. And I'll just say that for sure, if I'm still on the council and it's license renewal time, this loophole will be well remembered.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. We just need to provide maybe a bit of caution to the wind as to delving too far into this whole discussion. Thank you. Thank you, Ms. McElar. Ms. DeWitt?
May I go ahead and ask our city manager a question, Mayor Barr?
Yes,
ma'am. Okay. So the first is a comment, actually. I appreciate your ideas about the elders and cab rides, and then other council members' comments about maybe extending that to people who have other conditions that might put them at risk. I think those are really great ideas. The second is, but my actual question is, as far as COVID-19 goes and CARES Act funding, what sort of mechanisms have you put in place to track that, track the spending of those dollars? Because I keep seeing the information come down, you know, make sure your accounting systems are in place and that you're tracking these appropriately. So I'd like to hear a bit about that.
Thank you, Councilor DeWitt. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. You gave me a great opportunity for a lead-in. So as we're going through the budget process, I didn't want to inundate the council with a different process, but I am doing a parallel budget. Given that we have $8.4 million coming in, I have some issues with the spending plan. So I do plan to involve the public and the community. In essence, the city itself, we can't spend $8.4 million COVID up until December 30th. I will need assistance from the community, whether they come up with ideas like the voucher for the taxi industry, other things that I can get for COVID related. So I think after maybe in June, late June, I'll do like a town hall, coming and invite the city attorney as well. In terms of, is this project that, you know, an organization submitted, is that eligible, and can the city partner with that? What's the amount? Come up with a lot of ideas, put price tags to it, and try to come up with $8.4 million to spend that. With that said, the second part of it is that I do plan to have the council approve resolutions. The state requires to have the governing body accept the money. So that would be forthcoming as well. In terms of tracking it, the money that we've already spent, finances has tagged it with COVID-19. There's a code for that. And so when we do receive the money, we can reimburse the general fund for hours that the EOC staff was on level three, money that we spent for PPEs, money that we spent for the winter house. Those that have been tracked, and we're going to get reimbursement from our separate account that is CARES Act. So we do have a plan in place for that. And, I look forward to developing that and kind of update the council on it. But I do want to separate the two. If I commingle it during the budget process, we may get some, confusion and what from that.
Okay. And then I have one more question, Mayor Barr, if that's okay.
Yes, Ms. DeWitt.
And that is, you had said you had a fourth thing to talk about tonight. There's the Memorial Day event, the city facilities opening, cab vouchers. Was there something else? Did I miss something?
The transit system.
Oh, the transit system. Okay.
Yeah.
So that brings me to an item that was not on your report, and that's the finance department. As we know, we've had the resignation and rapid departure of our city finance director. And I was curious where you're at in planning for transition in that department.
As of today, I've embedded myself in the finance department. And I named myself acting finance director to get to the bottom of what the stability issue is and the turnover issues. So already I've had two meetings with staff to sort of get into the discussion of what is going on in the department, how long you've stayed here, what has happened in the past, what made you stay, how long you've been here. Those kinds of issues I've talked to the staff about. And while I'm relying on them to keep doing what they do normally, but asking for like what kind of assistance they need. And so I've gotten a lot of good insights from the staff so far. They've given me a lot of good feedback. So that was my first priority, is to find out what is causing this sort of problem there.
And then later on, we start working on, you know, competency and training and skills like that.
So I guess my next question is, you know, we're building a budget. There's a lot going on. We've got all this CARES money, and clearly you're down some personnel in that department. And so I guess this has come up, I think, in a public meeting during the budgeting process. And I know I sent you an email to the effect of, what about contracting out some of this work? Have you considered that, and where are you at with that?
Oh, yes. We do have a contract with, I think, Carmen Jackson. And then just because of the travel restrictions, once that is lifted, hopefully by, I think, June 2nd, then I do plan to have them come in. And at the same time as training our staff, they're going to also do some work and bring up our books to standards and train staff on how to keep that momentum going.
So, I don't have any more questions right now.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Ms. Franco.
Yes, thank you, Mayor Barr. So just a point of clarification, Vinny, are you currently acting as the assistant finance director?
No, I am the finance director.
You are acting as a finance director?
Yes.
And who's the assistant finance director?
Well, currently we have Teddy Warrock as the acting assistant finance director. And that she was appointed by the previous finance director. So I actually had some conversations with staff about that. And they, I have an idea that I'd like to rotate that position. So starting next week, I'm asking the existing members that are there to sort of rotate in a leadership position and try it out and see if they, you know, if that is something that they have a talent for, have a desire to apply for that position. But yeah, I'd like to get a gauge on how staff might see that as a career path.
Have you received any applications for that position?
Yes, we have, Councillor Franco.
Okay. All right, that is all the questions I have. Thank you.
Sure. Mayor Barr.
Thank you, Mr. Carrazza. One of the things that I know that Mr. Springer had mentioned prior to this meeting is one of the things that we expect, and that is part of the BMC, is for you to provide a financial report every month to the council. So I would just like to say that with the next meeting that's coming up, that is something that we would like to see.
So Mayor Barr, and this is a question for the council, the detailed report is about over 100 pages. Is that, I mean, that detail is what the council wants to see? We can provide that.
Or what you might want to do is go back and maybe look at some of the prior meetings that we've had. And Mr. Springer, do you have more of an insight as to what those financial reports entailed? Were they at length, or were they a condensed version?
No, they were detailed. They were detailed reports that we got. You know, I would encourage the manager to go back, you know, a couple of years worth of minutes and see what the reports were, that with this revenue expenditure by department. They were very detailed, but they were also very helpful.
Thank you, Mr. Springer, for that clarification. So one of the other topics of discussion that we've had in the past is the old folks home. I don't know if we brought it up in council, but I was dropping off a friend of mine last night after we were working on my outboard motor till about midnight. I mean, it was a pretty doggone long night for me. And I happened to look at the old folks' home and the lights were on. I don't know if there was anybody in that building, but the lights were definitely on because it was getting dark at about midnight. Maybe if we can, I know that we had talked about maybe what we're going to do with the old folks home and the housing area, because it's costing the city, if I remember what Bill Arnold had said, it was costing the city about $50,000 a year just to keep the lights and the heat on, because if we didn't do that, then all the pipes would explode and we'd end up with a huge mess. So we got to really figure out what to do with that, the old folks home. One of the things that I was approached about today also by a community member is why don't we do or look at possibly doing a community garden in the whole housing area. I don't know if the city of Bethel has any property in that area and the whole city housing area. But I thought that was a really, you know, we should have more community gardens around the city, not just one place. We should have one maybe at Kasaili. We should have one up in city, that area up there by the old folks home. Bethel Heights. Maybe we should have one in Larson Sub. Maybe we should have one in Tundra Ridge. You know, if the city has property like that in those areas, I think that would be very, very beneficial for this community. So if we can have you look into that, that'd be wonderful. Any other comments or suggestions or questions for the city manager on his report? I know under the BMC, Mr. Krause, you are mandated to do monthly reports to the council. Again, I think for the education of the public, it'd be nice to have some written document, even if you do it on your semi-monthly report like you did tonight. Thank you. Anything else?
I would want the city manager to feel free, though, to speak about really germane issues like things that just came up, day before.
Absolutely.
So that line may not, it may be there, but things that occurred yesterday or whatever.
Yep. Thank you, Mr. Diamond. Let's go on over to the city clerk's report. Ms. Strickler.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I don't have much to add outside of my written report. I'm working on a number of documents for a few of you for the next council meeting, but also want to let the council know, and I'm working with administration on how the COVID funds can be used and released. And there's a lot of unknown information still. I think I reported that last meeting, but the Alaska Municipal League is holding weekly meetings and providing some guidance on how those funds can be used and should be accounted for. So I'm looking at other communities too, seeing what their plans are. A lot of people are moving to a grant-based system to have people apply. But like Mr. Carrazza said, you know, that it's going to take an organization and community feedback to identify what's best for our organization. But I'm going to continue to track our opportunities with that. That's all that I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Strickler. And for the public, listening public, Ms. Strickler's report can be found online on the City of Bethel's webpage. So moving on to the council members' comments. We're at item number 12, and I'm going to throw my little dart and just start in a not in ascending order. So Mr. Springer.
Yeah, I'm chasing the first mosquito that's shown up in my house this season. I'm happy that people are still wearing masks. Please keep it up. We've got nothing to lose by keeping them things on, and a lot to lose by not wearing them. So please continue social distancing. Wearing masks, being careful. We have had apparently the third positive test show up today. We are not necessarily at the height of people flying into Bethel season, so just be wary and protect yourself, protect your families. Don't go and pop the bubbles yet. Expand them a little bit, like the advice says. But just continue to be aware of things. we've been very, very fortunate here in Western Alaska and really in the whole state. So let's try to maintain that good fortune. Watch out for that high water. It doesn't seem to be going down any. And if everybody crosses their fingers really hard, maybe when stove oil and gas get here, they might be a few cents cheaper. I don't know. It'd be nice. So, okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Mr. Springer. Ms. Frankel?
Thank you, Mayor Barr. So many kind words have already been said, but congratulations, Lieutenant Davis. Thank you so much for all the work you've done for the city of Bethel. I think you're actually one of the first BPD officers I met at a start training in, where was that, Kodiak, like a long time ago. Not that long, but when I first moved to Alaska. So congratulations and good luck in Fairbanks. I know we'll miss you. Really not much more. Congratulations to all those students who graduated. It's a very nice parade. I hope all the students can enjoy their summer, keep maintaining a social distance while hanging out with your friends as best as possible. I did see that Custo Kickers is being canceled this summer, unfortunately, but I know there'll still be lots of ways to stay out, get out, be healthy, and be active. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Franco. Let's go with Vice Mayor Hansen.
Hey there. I just want to say, you know, weather's getting nicer out and hope people are getting out and enjoying themselves. I think, you know, most of the logs are clearing out of the main. I think there's still some floating around, but just be aware of that as well. Still really high water. Watch out for any of those sandbars that are hiding out. I hope people are getting outside and not feeling all cooped up. Along with that, of course, social distancing, but it's a lot easier when you're outside doing things and can kind of space out more and enjoy yourself and not to feel too oppressed by the corona pandemic we're still in. But other than that, I'm excited for summer, and the smelt came through and I believe are gone now. So moving into king salmon fishing soon. So hope people are ready for that next phase. Cool. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. Hansen. Let's go with Ms. DeWitt.
Sure. Thank you, Mayor Barr. Thanks to former council member Fred Watson again for his service on council. And one last thanks to Lieutenant Acting Chief Amy Davis. And I really do hope that you and your family consider coming back at some point. I want to just say thanks to all the city employees for all the work they do on the daily for the city and on behalf of the city. So that's all I got. Thanks.
Thank you, Ms. DeWitt. Mr. Diamond.
I don't have much. Like I said before, I'm pleased knowing the details on how the city's responded to the current crisis. And I will say one thing, it's almost maybe a public service announcement, but YKHC has reduced or lessened the criteria one needs to get a COVID test. For instance, so my children who are having some dental work have been tested, and testing isn't everything. Testing gives you a certain amount of time, whether you have it or not. So it doesn't mean as much as some people want it to mean. I've been tested because I work in a high-risk situation. And so for anyone who has those concerns and is thinking about testing, call the COVID-19 hotline at YK, and they'll let you know exactly if you can come up and do a drive-by and get a test done. Yeah, and that's it.
Thank you, Mr. Diamond. We'll go with Councilmember Leary.
Thank you. I'll just kind of follow up with that a little bit. I worked the testing booth up at the airport a little bit a few weeks ago, and it amazed me at how many people just walked by and were not interested at all in testing. I'm hoping with these last two cases that have come up, you know, that more people will think a little harder about that. And on the same line, you know, encourage, if you know people coming in from out of town, anyone listening, if you know people coming in, that service is usually available. I know there was a lot of discussion of the lack of YK presence up there yesterday, but it is usually there. They have enough tests for anyone. We know how many people are coming in on the plane. We have enough to get every single person that comes off that airplane. And in the same line, I just wanted to bring up, you know, when public health, when there's a notification of someone testing positive, public health does an investigation with that person who tested positive and asks about every person they've been around in a certain time period. It all depends on, you know, details of that case. But I just think it's worth keeping in mind, as you know, I've seen a lot of gatherings going on with graduation, and no one wants to discourage that. But just keep in mind that they're going to ask, if someone does test positive, they're going to ask where all you've been and who you've been around. And then they're going to be asked to quarantine for up to 2 weeks. So, you know, just keep in mind, you know, see your friends and visit with people, but keep a distance, and just, you know, get outside. Definitely get out on the river, enjoy the river, enjoy good weather that we have. And one last thing, wear your float coats on the river. Thank you.
Wise words. Thank you, Ms. Larry. So for me, you know, we may have potentially had our third COVID-19 case go through Bethel. And as Mr. Springer has reiterated at each meeting that we have, social distancing, wash your hands, sing happy birthday while you're doing it twice, so it lasts about 20 seconds. You know, wear your masks, and keep your public exposure to a minimum. I don't know if we do this, but I know that I've fielded some phone calls about some curfew, possibly for kids at playgrounds. You know, I know kids have been playing a lot and long out because there is so much sunlight, which bothers a lot of the neighbors. So maybe if we can just ask the police department to look into that a little bit more. I don't know what the city of Bethel's 4th of July plans are, but I think that we need to start thinking about what maybe the public would like to see with a 4th of July celebration of some sense. Maybe get some suggestions from the public about, do they want a parade? Is it too early to think about maybe a Pinky's Park with social distancing? What are we going to do for that? So it's always a wonderful celebration that Bethel celebrates and is very proud of our independence and very proud of our military. I really like the idea of the small business grants that you are thinking about for the small businesses within the Bethel community. I know that a lot of the small businesses have suffered financially, and I know I've heard that also from other communities. So I'd really like to say that, yeah, it is something that the city of Bethel should and would like to pursue. So thank you for that. Thank you for bringing that up. Otherwise, that's it for me. I appreciate everybody's dedication to the council meetings and a lot of the time that is put into all our public service. So moving on to item number 13, executive session. I would entertain a motion to go into executive session.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Ms. Larry.
I would move to go into executive session in accordance with Alaska Statute 44.62.310(c)(1). Matters the immediate knowledge of which would clearly have an adverse effect upon the finances of the public entity, and AS 44.62.6310(c)(4), matters involving consideration of government records that by law are not subject to public disclosure, potential litigation, C-Sharp v. City of Bethel. Those in attendance are council members, city attorney, city manager, and city clerk.
Thank you, Ms. Leary. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second to said motion. Discussion? All those in favor of going into, let's do a roll call, please.
Thank you. Council Member Leary.
Yes.
Council Member Franco.
Yes.
Council Member Duet.
Yes.
Council Member Diamant.
Yes.
Council Member Springer.
Yes.
Mayor Bauer.
Yes.
Council Member Eisner Hansen.
Yes.
Great. We are now in executive session at 9:13. Would the council entertain a short break?
So moved.
So moved. Let's take a 5-minute break.
Koyana for listening to KYUK Public Radio for the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. That concludes our live coverage of Bethel City Council. Take care. Have a good evening.
Of dew from our footsteps flinging, trembling bright in the morning rain. Then we will hear the blackbird singing, then we will hear the blackbird singing all day. Spring is come, oh my love, so brightly 'tis the month for our lover's bliss.